This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Rich Cioli Show Podcast.
Well, I guess I could tell you that I'm really concerned and interested in what Hillary Clinton had to say about the Mueller report, but I'd be lying. It's irrelevant what she thinks about the Mueller report, except for this one part. Remember, the dossier, their handprints are all over it. So I'd like to have a report on the dossier, which then involves Hillary Clinton. So actually, there should be another report featuring Hillary Clinton and the dossier, which led to this entire nonsense to begin with. Welcome to the show. Glad you're here. Happy Tuesday. This is the only show. 855-839-1210. 1210WPHG.com is our website. Look, you know, that's the thing. Today at the Time 100 Most Important People, she spoke, and I wouldn't normally care. It's just that, because I don't play a lot of Hillary Clinton stuff, and I kind of feel like it's over, like move on enough. Like we won, she lost. I don't know. It's never been my thing to really, she's always out there talking, but the only time I ever really get into Hillary Clinton is when she, number one, blames somebody but herself for her loss, which is almost every time she opens her mouth, or number two, when she's blaming the Russians for her loss, which is in particular, of course, somebody else, but also the Russians. And that damn dossier, which led to the civil liberties of Americans being violated, that dossier has her handprints all over it. Now, if the Attorney General of the United States and the Inspector General of the Justice Department get to the bottom of this, we'll learn about this. And you know what? Every now and then I hear some lefty who calls up and goes, yeah, well, John McCain, it doesn't matter where this started. If it started in Republican opposition research or it started with an article on a Zine, it's irrelevant. The point is that by the time of the general election, the Democratic Party had embraced the dossier, had owned the dossier, had funded the dossier, and that dossier became the basis of a federal investigation. The dossier, which now even people like Bob Woodward are saying it's full of nonsense. Even Bob Woodward is disowning the dossier. New York Times the other day disowned the dossier. But that dossier was used to get FISA warrants, an abuse of the FISA court, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act court, to fool judges and then ultimately spy on a presidential campaign. And, you know, when I hear Hillary Clinton talk about there's still so much we need to know about Russian interference in the election, she's right. She's right. Like, particularly, who did Christopher Steele speak to in Russia to get stuff for the dossier? Like, which Russians were involved in the peace story? I'd like to know that. Which Russians did Christopher Steele talk? Nobody ever brings this up. Maybe people do. I don't know. I just don't really hear them. But nobody ever mentions the fact that dossier by Christopher Steele had to involve speaking to people who are Russian to come up with some of the stuff that Trump allegedly did in Russia and other places. But they don't ever bring that up. So I'd like to know that Russian collusion. Perhaps somebody can answer that for us at some point. I'd also like to know, too, the conversations that were had among FBI agents when they said, you know, this Russia thing, this is what we need. This is going to be good because with this Russia thing, we're in. We're in. The door's open. We're in. And how nobody there said, wait a second, is this really okay for us to be spying on a presidential campaign? I mean, is this... this is where we're headed here. The problem is not all too often, every single time, the federal government, when it's given power, will abuse that power and weaponize it for politics. It's always how it happens. It's why I'm so reluctant to give the federal government any more power over us. I mean, think about it. They have abused civil liberties in such a way since 9/11, using 9/11 as a precursor to that, or, you know, going back even further, terrorism writ large with the FISA court. And now we're facing the prospect of an inquiry into all this, which could get buried. Could get buried. I mean, we may never know. We may never know the answers to the questions that we're asking about the dossier. We just may never know. You have questions. I have questions. We may never get those answers. I have all the faith in the world in the Attorney General because he was there before. So he's not a newbie. He was there. He was the Attorney General before. So he's back. He, if anybody can try to figure this out, it's him. But look, the bureaucracy knows how to protect itself. The bureaucracy protects its own. The bureaucracy, the swamp protects the swamp creatures. It's how it works. And he's been out of the game quite some time. But I'll be optimistic. I'll be very optimistic. At the same time that's happening, the Democrats are going to try to impeach the president, which is something I know you heard Rush earlier say. He called it, I think, 3 days after the inauguration, or it doesn't matter. I mean, I'm not going to play the clip, but I said the day we were live at Chickies and Pete's, it was inauguration day, and I said that day they will try to impeach the president. And I remember a few people called in and said, for what? I said, I don't know. Pick it. Pick your... Just make something up. That's what they're going to do. And sure enough, the party is divided right now on impeachment. They don't know what to do. The reason why they don't know what to do is because there are differences in the way congressmen think and congresswomen and senators and also presidential candidates. There are differences in how they think. If you've got a safe district in New York like Gerald Nadler, the guy once known as Fat Jerry, who's now known as Chairman McNadler, and hell hath no fury like a former fat kid, as I often say. Well, Trump used to call him that, Fat Jerry. Anyway, Nadler's got a personal, he's got a revenge. He wants revenge because he was fat shamed by Donald Trump. So he wants revenge. But he also has a safe district in New York, and he's the chairman of the Judiciary Committee, and his whole job is to investigate the executive. So that's what he's going to do. That's what he's going to do. And he'll make himself feel very good about himself before it's all over. And he'll pound the gavel and he'll suck up all the oxygen in the room and he'll be on television all the time. And Chairman Jerry Nadler will swim in this, but he's not running for president. Now, if you're somebody who wants to be president, like Bernie Sanders, you got to have a much different take on this because you're smart enough to know your advisors are the professional political operatives who you have hired are smart enough to know this doesn't win elections. You cannot win your election by running on impeachment. It doesn't work. That's not a winning formula. It's not a winning strategy. Laura Trump, she's a wonderful person. She's pregnant. She's also now urging the public to speak up for newly proposed Agriculture Department rules requiring more humane treatment by licensed breeders. She's going after puppy mills. I don't know the specifics of this rule, so I can't comment on whether I agree with it or not. I typically don't like rules, but she published an editorial in the Washington Examiner with fellow animal advocates, Representative Matt Gaetz and Brian Mast, Florida Republicans, and former Florida Attorney General Pam Biondi to call for the changes. And the changes would essentially now require 2,500 federally licensed dog breeders get each animal examined by a vet, provide vaccinations, and constant water. All right, so they're trying to crack down on puppy mills. It sounds fine. I mean, it sounds logical, I guess, right? I'll bet you this will matter more to Americans than the Mueller report will. I'm serious. Everybody loves puppies. Everybody loves puppies. You know, if you're a single guy, the advice you're given from people is you get a puppy. They say that all the time. Chicks love puppies. I remember when I was single, they said that. They said, get a puppy, walk around with a puppy. Go to the puppy park. How many guys go to those freaking dog runs? They don't really care about the dogs. That's an opening invitation is what that is. Because as soon as they get married and have kids, the dog becomes the kid's responsibility. You know, and the dog's looking there going, hey, dude, I got you this. This is me, man. You dragged me to the dog park. You showed me off. I got you a lady friend. And now I'm out. What happened to your best buddy? I'm out. Get a dog. People love dogs. And so Laura Trump's talking about dogs and puppies. And I'm telling you right now, this matters more to people than the Mueller report does. It does. It may not get as much play as the Mueller report because she's backing it. And remember, Republicans hate dogs. Because they put dogs on the roof of their cars or something that, like Mitt Romney did or something. But she said, I think the American people would be shocked to know that these things that don't currently exist, these standards for dogs. And if you think about it, they also said, too, that babies work very well. The problem, though, is that most guys who have babies also have wives. So it's like one of those things where it works and you go, oh, damn it. Wow. See, now this is one of those situations. But I digress. Anyway, so puppies matter and puppy lives matter and they want to have spacious, comfortable housing. The Mueller report doesn't matter. Puppies matter. More people will talk about puppy mills and the Trump action on puppy mills than they ever will on the Mueller report. But let's not forget something, though, that Gerald Nadler doesn't care. He hates puppies. He does. Probably would eat one, too, back in the old days. I don't know if that's true. That's what's called a satirical exaggeration. I don't know if he actually would eat a puppy or if he did. Maybe he was visiting South Korea. I don't know. My point is very simple here. Gerald Nadler hates puppies, and somebody should ask him why. Because he's trying to go after the president, whose daughter-in-law is trying to save puppies. Now, Gerald Nadler doesn't care about puppies, but he does care about the Mueller report impeaching the president. But presidential candidates have to care about puppies, not Mueller reports. This is why Bernie Sanders last night, when he spoke to the lesser Cuomo, Chris Cuomo, he said last night that impeachment works to Trump's advantage. And it does. It absolutely does. And Bernie knows that because now Bernie's running for president and he realizes that Trump becomes stronger when you attack him. And if the president can run on impeachment, great. See, the other reality is that puppies don't move people to the voting booth necessarily, but impeachment does, meaning Republican voters. They do. If you go after this president, not only does his base come after him, but a lot of other voters who particularly may not like him will also come to his side because they're going to say, this is craziness. This is nonsense. Oh, and then also you do get the puppy crowd because you're trying to save puppies at the same time. So you get it all. You get it all, baby. But I'm telling you right now that presidential candidates running for president, which is why they're presidential candidates who are Democrats, see things very differently than members of the House of Representatives do. The House of Representatives, you don't have to worry about it. Gerald Nadler is not going to lose his seat. Nobody will make the mistake that led to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez winning. In other words, they're not going to ignore their left flank. And for the left flank in a district, they love this stuff. They love it. Impeachment, that is. It's the old saying, in a primary election, you run to the left or the right. In the general election, you run to the middle. This election is completely fueled by the left. And the left base that is in these congressional districts, they want this president gone. They want him gone. And they also want an ideological guy like Bernie Sanders to win. So they want both of those things to happen. But you can't have both things happen. Because if they go after Trump through impeachment, Trump wins the election. If they don't go after Trump on impeachment, the base is deflated. And they take the air out of their sails. And they don't know what to do. And this is the problem the Democrats have right now. This is the problem. So now you have the former Native American Elizabeth Warren, undocumented Native American Elizabeth Warren, who's saying she wants impeachment proceedings to begin. You know why? Because she is trying to get every lefty, rabid primary voter to vote for her. And she's not going to win the nomination. But this is her shot. This is her big shot. So she's willing to do that, even though it means that you're going to make the president even more powerful in his reelection. Man, they are in a bad spot. The Democratic Party is in a bad spot right now. They really are. It's a political puppy mill is what it is. They're not treating their issues properly. They're not treating the American people properly. They're making this election all about Donald Trump and impeachment. And if they do that, he wins. Because voters like when you make it about them. And they're not doing that. Of course, as the election continues and things get nuttier and nuttier, some candidates are going to get more desperate as they realize they're running out of time and money. And that is something that's going to happen sooner rather than later for a lot of these people. Now, Kamala Harris is a totalitarian, and I'm telling you right now, she's probably, of all of them, the most dangerous candidate out there. Here's what I mean. She was as prosecutor in California, state attorney general. She was ruthless, and she was an absolute authoritarian fanatic, really, truly. She doesn't care about civil liberties. She cares about getting people. She's a phony. She doesn't care about marijuana freedom. She went after drugs. She cracked down on marijuana all the time. She would abuse civil liberties to get the bad guy. She's the worst. The worst. She really is the worst. Of all of them up there, she scares me the most. Because she could take executive action on things. You know, I don't think a lot of the stuff that these candidates are proposing is nutty and won't get passed. But when they start talking about their executive action, that scares the hell out of me. It really does. And while Bernie's dangerous in a whole different way, at least Bernie supports guns because he's from Vermont. Now, that may change as the election goes on. But you know, his nuttiness, his socialism is damn right terrifying. Make no mistake about it. But this kind of talk by Kamala Harris is incredibly scary. This is a right we're talking about now that if she did this, then it makes it very, very difficult for the government to fear the people. And this is what ultimately the left wants, which is an unarmed or disarmed public. It's what they've always wanted. It's why you don't have a socialist system in the world where the people are free to buy guns. In New Jersey, for example, they've just decided to try to raise the price of buying a gun by raising the permit to about from about like $25 to I think like $550 or something like that. Now, that's very discriminatory to poor people who also deserve the right to protect themselves and their family. Imagine if the government came around and said newspapers, we're going to make newspapers cost $500, or a subscription to a cable channel, $500 if you want to watch CNN. It's the only right in the Constitution they kick around like this. And so imagine if they said if you want a jury trial, you got to pay $500 to get a jury trial. Kamala Harris is running for president. She was the attorney general in the state of California. She's a totalitarian. She's an authoritarian. She's dangerous. And this is what she said. Cut one.
I will give the United States Congress 100 days to get their act together and have the courage to pass reasonable gun safety laws. And if they fail to do it, then I will take executive action. And specifically what I will do is put in place a requirement that for anyone who sells more than 5 guns a year, they are required to do background checks when they sell those guns. I will require that for any gun dealer that breaks the law, the ATF take their license. And by the way, ATF, alcohol, tobacco, and firearms. Well, the ATF has been doing a lot of the A and the T, but not much of the F. And we need to fix that.
Ah, yes.
And then...
Wow, very funny, time-tested soundbite.
Because none of us have been sleeping over the last 2 years. Part of what has happened under the current administration is they took fugitives off the list of prohibited people. I put them back on the list, meaning that fugitives from justice should not be able to purchase a handgun or any kind of weapon.
Fugitives from justice should not be allowed to buy a handgun. What the hell is she talking about anyway? Now, any gun dealer who sells more than 5 guns a year are required to do background checks when they sell those guns. Who's not required to do background checks? Now, this is one of those myths that the left always puts out there. I will require that for any gun dealer that breaks the law, the ATF take their license. Pretty sure that happens now if they break the law. But and by the way, ATF, alcohol, tobacco, and firearms. Well, they've been doing a lot of the A and T. Get it? You know what? What she's really talking about as well is confiscating guns too, meaning AR-15s in particular, but any other guns they don't like. And the people just eat this stuff up, man. Oh, reasonable gun safety laws. But fugitives, what does that mean? Fugitives from justice. You know what's interesting? Democrats are, they're all in on letting ex-felons vote, but they don't want ex-felons to have guns. You notice that? You notice that dichotomy right there? They're all in. You're an ex, if you've served your time, you're free, you should get your rights back when it comes to voting, but not your rights to get a gun. Why not? Well, they were criminal, but you let them vote? Yeah. I don't understand. What's the difference? See, I think it's either all or nothing. Either you, when you're out of prison, you either get all your rights back or you don't get any of your rights back. One or the other. Because if you shouldn't get your rights back, what are you doing out of prison? It's like the Boston bomber analogy. Why is that guy out of prison then? The question I have is not whether or not he should vote. The question I have is, why is he out of prison? Why is that guy not going to prison for the rest of his life with what he did, an act of terrorism on U.S. soil? I mean, to me, that's a life offense. But some guy who's in prison for drugs or something like that, and he serves 5 years and he gets out, he should be allowed to vote again, and he should be allowed to buy a firearm again. And as many firearms as he wants, like every other American. But, you know, the Democrats won't be consistent on that. They'll say yes to the voting and no to the guns. And they'll even run around and say that. Convicted felons, the right to buy guns. Well, you would give them the right to vote. I would, because they've served their time. What about a gun? No, because they're still felons. What? But this is, it's the same thinking that guns kill people and voting doesn't. Or guns kill people and newspapers don't. And they'll say that. They'll say that stuff. Of course, you could come back and say that actually votes have killed a lot of people. Like voting for the wrong people has killed a lot of people. A lot of people have died because the wrong person has been elected. You know, many people in this world, in the history of the world, have died because wrong leaders were elected. So votes do kill people, actually. And newspapers can kill people, too. Particularly if they are rounded up really, really tightly and smacked on somebody's head. Just saying. I've seen it happen. I have not personally seen it happen, but it could happen. You could also argue, though, of course, that newspapers can also get people killed because newspapers can report stories that lead to crazy people doing crazy things. You know, a crazy person sees something in the newspaper that sets him off, and then he goes out and commits something. Now, they'll focus on the gun. They won't focus on the story. And they shouldn't focus on either, but they will. They'll focus on the gun. It's just such hypocrisy. It really is. 855-839-1210. Adam is in Center City. Hi, Adam.
Hey, good afternoon. I think the 550 for a gun is astronomical high. And Bernie Sanders' vote from jail is pretty important. You should have a right to housing and things. I used to have a route in Manhattan, $2.5 million, work for a wholesale foods distributor as my own entrepreneur. Serve at Gallagher's, Smith & Wolensky, Greg Wilson's, Dallas Barbecues, Rosie O'Grady's, Bill Peer, Windows World, etc. And there's a commentary on this. Daniel Sattell, S-I-T-T-O.
Okay, very
Google.
Good. Listen, Joe, here's what you got to know. You got to know about these Daniel Sattell people, okay? All right, this is a learning lesson for you. Okay? Got it?
Yeah.
All right, very good. Don't let it happen again. This happened on Mark Levin's show once. It wasn't your fault, but I was filling in for Mark, and one of these nut jobs got in there, too.
Really?
Yeah. So you got it. So you learned something today?
Yes.
What'd you learn, Joe, when you screen a phone call? What'd you learn?
Daniel, what was the name?
Sattell.
You learned nothing.
Joe, geez, Mike. What else did you...
Are they selling? What are they selling?
I think I was selling steaks or something like that,
okay.
Right? Joe, what else did you learn today? Joe, did you learn to put your ringer on your phone today, Joe?
Oh, that's right, I did. That's right. So I didn't know that there's a little switch on the side of the phone.
Yeah, your rotary phone at home in your mom's house, I guess. You didn't have it plugged in right.
I have this brand new iPhone 5. It only has...
Five?
That's unbelievable. It only has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
All right, Dawn, let me tell you what happened, all right? Let me just explain what happened here. So I sent a text last night to Greg and Joe, the executive producer of the show and the associate producer of the show. Maybe. And I said to them, hey, why don't we do lunch tomorrow, guys? And Greg wrote back, fine. So today, I write them, what time you guys want to do lunch? Greg writes back, whenever. I said, okay, how about noon? Joe doesn't respond to anything, Dawn. Then at 10 after 12, he writes, I'm almost there. I wrote back and said, but you never responded, and so I'm home. You know. And then he goes, my ringer was broken, so Evil Jared fixed my ringer for me. Aww. My ringer was broken, he said.
The ringer was broken.
He didn't know how to work his ringer. So Joe got a class in how to, he's like 22 years old. He's the only millennial who doesn't know how to work a freaking iPhone.
This is unbelievable.
So Jared had to show him how to flip the switch up on the iPhone. This is stuff I got to do with my mother, Joe. You know that?
It's confusing.
Mama's the only doesn't know how to do this either, but you're 22 years old.
It's confusing to me. I miss the days where you could just pick the phone up off the receiver and talk into it. Now,
you know what Joe misses the days? He goes, operator, give me Bensonhurst 4596. Yes. All right. Well, that was our one call of the day. It's why we don't take calls here on the show. And we'll try again tomorrow. 855-839-1210.
You've lost your privileges, listeners.
Now you've lost your privileges, so we'll try again tomorrow.
Sorry, everybody.
See if you can be good. Blame Joe.
Yeah, it's Joe's fault.
All right, Joe's fault is why we're not taking calls for the rest of the day. Okay, because Joe's got to be punished, all right? Stop. It's not your fault, it's Joe's fault. We're taking it out on Joe. On you, though, all right? Very good.
Riccioli 306, Talk Radio 1210, WPHT.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.